Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso, recording at our studio here in East County. Today we open our show with our Capitol Report covering some major stories out of our nation's capital. President Donald Trump has defied Congress and refused to impose sanctions against Russia for election tampering, allowing a deadline imposed by Congress to expire. He's also reportedly balking at being interviewed by Special Counsel Robert Mueller on the investigation into Trump's campaign ties to Russia. From Public News Service, hear about a temporary government shutdown that's just ended, and learn how Silicon Valley executives are organizing efforts to help save our national parks. Congressman Duncan Hunter's financial woes are mounting. We'll tell you about his latest campaign finance report, which included just one donation from anybody in his district. Caltrans is warning motorists to beware of large bricks on Interstate 8 and to please report anyone seen putting bricks on the highway after multiple accidents have occurred. The San Diego Union-Tribune has been sold, along with the Los Angeles Times, to a biotech billionaire doctor. Learn more about the new owner of our region's biggest newspaper on today's show. Our newsmaker interview today is with former Supervisor Pam Slater-Price and Mark Jackson, best known for leading the successful battle to stop the Lilac Hills Project in Valley Center. They'll be talking about a new proposed ballot initiative to save San Diego's countryside from development speculators on today's show. Then on Destination East County, hear about events coming up across our region, from Valentine's Day happenings for your sweetheart to an open farm day at the Oasis Camel Dairy, concerts, a Cupids and Canines pet adoption day, and a St. Patrick's Day fun run through El Cajon, all on today's show. On Green Scene, learn how some California leaders are working to block transportation of oil from offshore drilling proposed by the Trump administration. Hear about Love Your Heart activities this Valentine's Day, including free blood pressure screenings across our region. We'll also have details about a plane crash this week in Santee and a carjacking pursuit on Crime Beat. Plus, learn how you can run for public office to serve your community, as filing deadlines for candidates open soon at San Diego's Registrar of Voters. So stay tuned for all of these stories on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital.
This is Jonathan Getz with the Capitol Report. President Donald Trump has defied Congress, refusing to impose sanctions against Russia passed by Congress before last Monday's deadline. The law passed by Congress required the president to sanction companies or individuals doing significant business with Russian defense and intelligence entities, moves that aimed to punish Russia for meddling in the U.S. presidential election, including hacking into several U.S. states' election systems. Trump has instead sought closer ties between Russia and the U.S. A spokesperson for the Trump administration's State Department has claimed that the Countering America's Adversaries Through Sanctions Act was already serving as a deterrent without the need for the president to take any formal action. Critics say sanctions are critical to try and dissuade Russia from trying to tamper with future elections, as well as punishment for its past actions. Meanwhile, President Trump's attorneys are reportedly advising the president not to talk to Special Counsel Robert Mueller regarding the investigation into ties between Trump's campaign and Russia, due to concerns that he might commit perjury. Multiple members of Trump's campaign team have already pled guilty or been indicted on charges relating to the Russia probe, including a charge of conspiring against the United States. Trump's argument hinges on his claim that the president cannot be indicted and thus, arguably, cannot be compelled to testify. But legal scholars say that Mueller is on solid constitutional ground if he issues a subpoena to compel the president to talk to him under oath, since several prior presidents in both parties have testified in criminal investigations. Bill Clinton testified on the Monica Lewinsky affair, Ronald Reagan on Iran-Contra, Ulysses S. Grant on the Whiskey Ring scandal, Jimmy Carter on a criminal case unrelated to his presidency, and Gerald Ford in the trial of a woman who tried to kill him. Also, the Supreme Court has forced presidents to turn over records that presidents attempted unsuccessfully to keep confidential, including Ronald Reagan's diaries during the Iran-Contra scandal probe and White House tapes during the Watergate investigation in President Richard Nixon's era.
This is a Public News Service Daily Newscast update for Friday, February the 9th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. The U.S. House joined the Senate overnight in voting to end the brief government shutdown, also honor nationwide rundown. Can Silicon Valley help save our national parks? First, our top story at 12:01 this morning, the U.S. government shut down. That shutdown was brief and forced by Kentucky GOP Senator Rand Paul. Paul used Senate rules to delay passage of the stopgap budget for hours as he railed against the measure because it lifted caps on spending and would further explode the deficit. Once the Senate finally was able to vote, Reuters reports it took an all-night session debating and voting the bill ending the shutdown, finally won House passage only after Democrats provided enough votes to offset the opposition of 67 Republicans. Reuters called that a remarkable rebellion in the party's ranks. The final House vote, 240 to 186. With the signature of President Donald Trump, the measure extends government funding through March the 23rd, when we could be back at this again. And back in 1968, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. launched the Poor People's Campaign. Now, Eric Tegetthoff tells us a half century later, the campaign is still going, and this week its organizers held events at state capitals calling for a moral revival across the country.
On Saturday, groups including Chaplains on the Harbor will host an event in Renton to get Washingtonians ready for 40 days of action this spring. Aaron Scott, member of the coordinating committee for the Poor People's Campaign in the Evergreen State, thinks the movement is needed now more than ever, and organizers are letting state political leaders know.
We're putting you on notice for your failure to address these core issues of systemic racism, poverty, the war economy, and ecological devastation. Heads up, we're starting out polite, but we're going to get rowdier in the spring in terms of mass coordinated civil disobedience along these moral issues.
The 40 days of action will start on Mother's Day, May 13th.
And finally, Suzanne Potter tells us this weekend Silicon Valley is harnessing its brain power to help devise solutions to the $11.3 billion backlog in deferred maintenance facing America's national parks and monuments.
The Pew Charitable Trusts, along with the group Civic Makers, is hosting the Parks and Tech Challenge at Fort Mason in San Francisco. Marcia Argus, director of Pew's Restore America's Parks campaign, says the event brings together technology experts, designers, sustainability specialists, and park experts to think outside the box.
What we're looking for is thoughts that would provide cost savings to the Park Service, as well as ideas that might come up with ways to generate revenue.
She says the group will try to find energy savings, consider new materials that might have longer life cycles, or come up with ways to harness data so that park managers can catch repairs sooner before they become more expensive to fix.
Organizers of the event say they hope a Parks and Tech hackathon will produce long-lasting solutions that could draw down the maintenance backlog and keep it from escalating. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Gene Carpenter with a Capitol Report. Congressman Duncan Hunter's dismal campaign finance reports have attracted national attention, and not in a good way. Currently under federal investigation for allegedly spending campaign donations on lavish personal expenses, Hunter is the target of a grand jury recently convened in San Diego and could potentially be indicted on criminal charges. Not surprisingly, he's having difficulty getting new donors to contribute to his campaign. In fact, during the last 3 months of 2017, only one person living in the 50th congressional district donated any money to his campaign. The lone donor is is Molly Sylvester, who owns a vape store. Hunter has been a local advocate for reducing regulations on vaping and electronic cigarettes after pocketing hefty donations in the past from the tobacco industry. During the last quarter of 2017, Hunter's campaign raised only about $50,000 total, and except for $2,000 from the local vape shop owner, all the rest of that money came from outside the district, including D.C. lobbyists and out-of-state political action committees, or PACs. Hunter's fundraising is not keeping pace with his expenses either. While he raised just $50,000 from October through December, he spent over $264,000, and nearly all of that, $178,000, went to pay five law firms for handling his legal problems, San Diego Free Press reports. At the start of this year, Hunter's campaign had only $291,000 in the bank, less than half of what it had a year ago. Hunter's district was supposed to be one of the safe ones for Republicans in 2018. The Cook Political Report gave the GOP an 11-point advantage going into the year. Hunter won re-election by more than 75,000 votes in 2016, and Republicans continued to hold a 44-28% registration advantage in the district. Hunter inherited the seat from his father of the same name, but now Hunter Jr. is in trouble. After the San Diego Union-Tribune revealed that Hunter had spent lavish amounts of campaign funds on a family trip to Italy, oral surgery, jewelry stores, video games, tuition at his children's school, and first-class airfare for his son's pet rabbit, the Federal Elections Commission and Justice Department launched investigations. Hunter later took out a loan to repay his campaign over $60,000, though he has denied intentional wrongdoing. Last August, the FBI searched his campaign treasurer's office, and the federal grand jury recently issued a subpoena at a local business seeking more records. Hunter still insists he is running for election, and as of mid-January, claimed he would have the full support of the Republican Party. The filing deadline opens next week, but many other candidates on both sides of the aisle have said they'll be challenging Hunter for the seat. Two strong Democratic contenders are already far better funded than Hunter. Amar Campa Najjar, a former Obama administration official with an impressive grassroots campaign, has raised over $176,000 and reported nearly $299,000 cash on hand at year's end. He has swept endorsements from Democratic clubs and has strong labor support after receiving 97% of delegate votes at a regional Democratic conference. He is expected to win the state's party endorsement as well. Josh Butner, a retired Navy SEAL with support from veterans groups, has raised more than $104,000 and reported $277,000 in cash on hand at the end of 2017. He is also on the Hamul Dulzura Union School District Board. Democrats are backing the race at a national level as part of their efforts to take back control in the House of Representatives. The party must flip 24 seats nationally to do so, and 14 in California are considered vulnerable. Republican contenders include Andrew Zelt, a sergeant in the Sheriff's Department running on core conservative values, and Seamus Sayed, a moderate Republican business owner, both saying they're running to restore ethics to the office. There has also been speculation that Congressman Daryl Issa may jump into the run for Hunter's seat in the 50th Congressional District after announcing he will not seek re-election in the 49th District, which is now nearly evenly split between Democratic and Republican Party registration. Hunter has also faced strong grassroots opposition from organizations including Indivisible, which has put up a billboard reminding voters of the criminal investigation into his campaign finances. In addition, he's drawn increasing scrutiny for his voting record, increasing ties to special interests, continued support of even the most extreme stances of President Donald Trump, as well as Hunter's own inflammatory statements, such as stating support for a preemptive strike on North Korea, which has nuclear weapons. Hunter, an Iraq and Afghanistan war veteran, has been in combat zones before, but now he may be facing the toughest battle of his life if the embattled congressman seeks to hold onto his seat.
The California Highway Patrol is warning motorists about a series of accidents caused by 50-pound bricks that authorities believe were left intentionally on Interstate 8 in Alpine, NBC 7 News reports. At least 11 vehicles have been damaged over the past month, including a multi-car collision. Although property damage has been extensive, No injuries have been reported, although authorities fear that could change if the malicious actions continue. Anyone who witnesses someone putting bricks in the roadway or who has information on these crimes is asked to contact the California Highway Patrol. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fistier.
The San Diego Union-Tribune and the Los Angeles Times newspapers have been sold to NANT Technologies, LLC, the newspapers announced on Wednesday. NANT purchased the publications from Tronc, formerly known as Tribune Media, for $500 million. NANT Technologies is a private investment company owned by biotech billionaire Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong, a surgeon listed by Bloomberg News with a net worth of over $8.5 billion as of this month. Dr. Soon-Shiong made his fortune buying and selling pharmaceutical drug companies. He's been called the richest doctor in the history of the world by Forbes. He's been credited with dramatically improving survival rates of cancer patients through innovations including genetic sequencing. The doctor has been hailed as a wizard by some and criticized as a showman worthy of P.T. Barnum by others, according to a 2014 Forbes article titled, "Can Patrick Soon-Shiong, the world's richest doctor, fix healthcare?" Dr. Soon-Shiong met with Donald Trump amid speculation that he might be tapped by Trump to help overhaul the nation's healthcare system. But in recent years, his political donations have leaned Democratic, including $50,000 to Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign. He has stated, "My quest was and is to improve the quality of life through science." Born in South Africa to Chinese immigrant parents, Dr. Soon-Shiong also owns a minority stake in the Los Angeles Lakers. He graduated from high school at age 16 and from medical school at age 22. At UCLA Medical Center, he gained fame for transplanting insulin-producing cells into a diabetic. He is credited with inventing the anti-cancer drug Abraxane. His family foundation has donated millions to the UCLA Global Health Institute, according to UCLA. He founded NANT Health, NANTomics, and NANT Works, LLC, which he currently chairs. He has claimed that NANT Health's supercomputer-based system and network are able to analyze the genetic data from a tumor sample in just 47 seconds. He also serves as executive director of the Wireless Health Institute at the University of California at Los Angeles and an adjunct professor of surgery at UCLA. In 2016, he launched the National Immunotherapy Coalition to encourage rival pharmaceutical companies to work together to test combinations of cancer-fighting drugs. He has also met with former Vice President Joe Biden to discuss more ambitious approaches to fighting cancer, including conducting genomic sequencing of 100,000 patients to create a massive database of potential genetic factors, the New York Times reported. At that time, Dr. Soon-Shiong said, "I've never been more hopeful in my life about our chance of changing the course of this disease." In acquiring the two major Southern California newspapers, Soon-Shiong joins a growing field of high-tech entrepreneurs entering the media field, most notably including Amazon.com founder Jeff Bezos, who recently acquired The Washington Post. In a written statement issued by Tronc, Dr. Soon-Shiong announced, "We look forward to continuing the great tradition of award-winning journalism carried out by the reporters and editors of the Los Angeles Times, the San Diego Union-Tribune, and the other California news group titles." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Goetz.
This is Miriam Raftery, producer of the East County Magazine radio show. If you would like to be the media, here's your opportunity. We're looking for some more talented volunteers for our East County Magazine radio show. So if you've got radio experience or just a great voice, or if you'd like to get experience writing scripts or special reports for the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, we'd like to hear from you. You can call us at 619-698-7617 or send an email to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We're your community media, bringing you news from our region that reflects the public interest, not special interests.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. Today we're going to be speaking with backers of the Safeguard Our San Diego Countryside initiative that they are attempting to get onto the November ballot. And my very special guests today are former Supervisor Pam Slater Price and Mark Jackson, who led the successful efforts No on B effort to block the Lilac Hills development up in the Valley Center area. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Miriam, for having us.
Can you tell us a little bit about exactly what this initiative is all about and why you believe it's necessary?
Miriam, it's really straightforward, and we've made it as straightforward as possible. The actual law itself is about 8 pages, and it simply says that if you're going to increase residential density for an area that's not entitled in the current general plan for more than 5 units, a majority of county voters have to approve it. It's that straightforward.
And this arises, of course, out of the history we've seen on the supervisors since the general plan was approved a few years back, looking at waiver after waiver from these developers that would come through seeking to just build whatever they wanted. Pam, what was your experience when you were on the supervisors? How often did that go on?
I served on the board from 1992 until 2013, so I was there for the entirety of the general plan update. And I can tell you that we started that 13 years before we finished it in 2011. It cost $18.6 million of taxpayer money to complete, and we went through several planning directors in order to accomplish it. We had representatives from every possible side who were there, including environmentalists, builders, residents, everyone. And we finally came to an agreement that we could live with this plan. We thought it accommodated everyone. It accommodated the new development that would be required according to the SANDAG projections for the county. And therefore, any housing needs that we would have required in the county unincorporated land were incorporated in this plan. It also resulted in large swaths of open space land for agriculture, for parkland, for hiking trails, for other amenities, and also for protection. These large open swaths of land, which are zoned at very low density, of course, are a very juicy target for developers who want to come in and purchase that land at very low prices because it is entitled for very little, and then go to the Board of Supervisors and get upgrades on that land so they can come in and make a huge profit.
So basically, this is land speculators we're talking about trying to stop with this initiative, not long-time property owners who kind of done the right thing and gone through the process and are trying to build something that allowable under the current zoning.
Miriam, to add to that, we did take drafts of this before the Farm Bureau. And tried very hard not to injure the little fellow. Family folks, there are specific things in the ordinance that address families that are trying to do things like do a state settlement of family land.
And the need for this obviously became evident, I think, to everyone when we saw the proposed Lilac Hills development, where it was basically a massive master-planned community. How many homes was that going to have?
It was scheduled to have 1,746 homes.
Yeah, so this is a huge project. I think some mixed use in there.
Yes.
Also, this is something where the developer, if I recall correctly, tried to do an end run around the environmental laws even by taking this directly to voters, putting it on the ballot, to try to win voter approval for something that maybe the supervisors would not have approved.
That's correct.
And in November 2016, the good listeners out there sent that result. 64% of the county of San Diego resoundingly rejected it.
Wow, so two-thirds, basically.
And the real issue, almost 2-to-1 margin, the real issue now is, you said now this is, what, 18 months later?
Mm-hmm.
And it's still proceeding through as a general plan amendment. It's a zombie that won't die. Why won't it die?
Well, and of course, with term limits, the existing supervisors eventually are going to be all termed out. One or two of them already have been. And we don't know who's going to be on there in the future. So even though there's been kind of a bulwark against perhaps the worst of the developments, mm-hmm. that could change after the next election.
I think right now we're in a position that if a large developer came forward, I think right now the votes are there to approve it on the existing board. The only member of the board that I know of who listens to the residents anymore is Supervisor Diane Jacob.
And of course, in 2020, she'll be termed out. And so we know that developers are licking their chops, backing certain candidates that they may wish to get in there. This is not just about Lilac Hills, though, up in Valley Center. Can you, Mark, educate our listeners a little bit about some of the other proposed large housing projects in East County, perhaps the South Bay, other parts of the county that could be at stake with this initiative?
Yeah, Miriam, the really large ones are in Otay Village 13 and 14, and those are all in the range of 2,000 units each. They're significant, and for you folks that live there, I feel your pain and traffic. And it, things like Star Ranch.
Campo area, yeah.
Yep. That's no place to add 450 dense homes. There's another issue that Miriam highlighted, and these competitive elections. A competitive election for a supervisor these days is about $500,000. In the last competitive cycle, where there's competitive supervisor election, the majority of funding for this, for the supervisorial campaign, came from these folks seeking general plan amendments. These are rich returns, and it's a cycle, this is personal opinion, it's a cycle of influence buying.
So it really becomes almost a pay-for-play scheme.
It is, and it's sadly, it's not illegal. If a developer gives a candidate large contributions, the maximum amount allowable, and in addition creates a PAC, that PAC can independently take many, many more thousands of dollars, and they can campaign on their own for this candidate. It's completely legal.
Yeah, very troubling. So this initiative would give control back to the people to decide whether or not they want one of these large developments or not. Let's talk a little bit about some of the problems that these massive developments can cause. Obviously, there's the visual blight and the loss of open space is certainly a concern. What are some of the other serious issues that each of you is worried about?
One of the major issues I'm very concerned about is fire safety and fire danger. These areas that we're contemplating, that we're talking about today, are all in the areas of very high fire hazard zones, as determined by CAL FIRE. And then if you look at the maps, which I'm sure are available, the areas that we're talking about are all dark red. There is no land out there that is safe to develop because of fire hazard. And we've seen what has happened most recently, just last year. So we know that we must not overdevelop because, for example, the last time we had that large fire, instead of 157 or whatever homes being burned, it could have been more than 2,000.
Yes, and even worse, loss of life, such
yes.
as we've seen up in the Napa fires
yes.
recently and some of the Los Angeles area fires. And even I can certainly remember the Cedar Fire in 2003 and the 2007.
The witch fire.
Yeah, the firestorms. Yeah. There was gridlock for people trying desperately to evacuate out of the Ramona area. And heaven forbid if there'd been any more development
That's
up
right.
there. It was awfully close to being an even worse catastrophe with people trapped on the highways. And there was one point where we had, I think, three or four major highways shut down because
That's
of
right.
fire, and in one case, a plane that had crashed in the smoke on Highway 163 in one of these. And when we're talking rural roads, rural highways, it's only
right.
one lane each direction, you have to be really careful not to put more traffic on there than the amount of vehicles that you could get out safely should an emergency occur.
And actually, that brings up one other point, in that these developers do not look to put in the infrastructure that's required. They expect the taxpayers to do so using the county monies to build the roads. And if they are required to contribute, they contribute the very minimum amount that is required.
Yeah.
Pam, that's a really good point. Let me just you know, illustrate that with some data on Newland Sierra, which is 2,135 homes in North County, San Diego. They're proposing an independent engineering analysis. It says that the impact to State Highway 78 and I-15, mainline traffic, to remediate it, just on the numbers the developer put forward in terms of its traffic load, is $214
million. Wow.
They're offering to pay none, and there is no mitigation for that. In addition to that, they're paying for all of their cumulative impacts. They're paying, and this is laughingly to me called a fair share, transportation impact fee.
Wow.
At completion, over the course of probably 15 years, they pay $10 million. $10 million in today's cost buys a single lane of county road.
Woefully inadequate.
One lane mile. Not even both ways. You need $20 million to get one lane road with, you know, both ways.
And Pam, in the backcountry, especially areas like Campo and Boulevard, some of these places, isn't water a serious concern also?
Water is a very serious concern because many areas, particularly of East County and the far reaches of Northeast County, are not served by the main lines from the County Water Authority, so they do not receive imported water. They rely upon groundwater, and the groundwater reserves themselves, they're being withdrawn because of the Indian casino developments, which are very large and they're not governed by county land use. Those resources are being drawn down, and the water becomes polluted over time as well. So the water is a very, very big issue.
It is a large issue, and certainly when we're coming off of 5 or 6 years of drought, and news just out this week, we may be going into another drought. The snowpack is down 2/3 below what it normally would be for this time of year. So it's a very serious concern. Once those groundwater reserves are gone, they may not ever replenish.
Certainly not in the quantity that would be required to sustain continuing large-scale development.
Yeah, and we should note it isn't just Indian casinos that have been the problem. We've seen major energy projects coming in, things like building the Boulevard Eco Substation out there, the large wind project going in McCain Valley. All of these developers are drawing large portions of that water from the local groundwater sources.
That's right.
There.
That's right. And I know Supervisor Jacob was trying to come up with a regulation for that, but I'm not very hopeful of that.
I'm going to give each of you the final word here. What else would you like our listeners to know about the Save Our San Diego Backcountry Initiative?
First of all, you will see signature gatherers. They're out there now, particularly on the weekend. You'll see them at your major retailers. Please take a look. It's very short. There are 23 maps, which indicates every area that is part of the unincorporated county and indicates where it applies. And please sign. Ask any question you like. Look at it. The facts bear out, I think, for everybody that has a concern about the quality of life in San Diego and the fact that they don't want to pay to subsidize an out-of-state hedge fund's profits, please take a look at this.
Okay.
And I'd like to add that one thing we didn't address was traffic. The traffic, as everyone knows, is already a terrible situation, despite hundreds of millions of dollars being spent. These projects do nothing to mitigate traffic, as has been stated, so remember that. And remember also that you can sign this initiative no matter where in San Diego County you reside, as long as you're a registered voter. You do not have to be a member of the unincorporated county. You can be in any city as long as you are a registered voter, because this initiative covering the county covers all 18 cities as well as the unincorporated county.
Very interesting. So does that mean that it potentially could block, say, a large developer in Santee or one of the incorporated cities?
No, it does not block anyone that resides within an incorporated city, but it does pertain to the unincorporated county. That's just the way the system is set up.
Okay, so all county voters can vote on this, but it will only apply in the unincorporated areas. One other question, the devil's advocate question would be that San Diego does have a housing shortage, in particular an affordable housing shortage. What would you say to the developer's argument that we've got to provide more housing?
I'd agree with them. There is a quantity of housing, but this, when you're developing in places that don't have the infrastructure, you don't get there. that doesn't provide affordable housing. They're selling at market rate, and they're earning high margins.
These are large luxury homes. They're on large lots. They contain amenities such as swimming pools and other amenities, tennis courts, stables, and they are not appropriate for if you're considering low income. Also, people that can barely make ends meet cannot afford to live far from resources. They just simply can't afford that quality of life. So this is just an excuse to allow them to grab onto something they think is popular and to try to get their development through.
So developing infill properties is a better option for providing affordable housing and, for that matter, minimizing greenhouse gas from all the traffic that all the extra vehicles for these thousands of homes would put onto the highways, into the airways.
That's right. And that's why when the general plan update was developed, all of the necessary development for the unincorporated county was near village centers and near existing resources and cities, so that people who move there would have what they need. And by the way, that would be a good place on entitled land for the developers to go look if they truly want to provide affordable housing.
So just to clarify, the initiative is called the Safeguard Our San Diego Countryside. However, the website is slightly different, I guess, because of availability. So if people want to get information about the initiative or sign it or maybe pick up copies of the petition to circulate to help get this on the November ballot, where can they go?
In about 2 weeks, about the end of February, go to saveoursandiegocountryside.org, which is a website. It was the No on B Lilac Hills website, and right now it says No on B Lilac Hills, and it's under construction, and in about 2 weeks it'll be there.
Very good. Well, I really want to thank you for coming on the show. Listeners, if you've just tuned in, we have been speaking with former County Supervisor Pam Slater-Price and the leader of the successful No on B Lilac Hills initiative, Mark Jackson, who has also served on the Valley Center Planning Board and a fire board. He's been a real strong community supporter, community representative. I want to thank both of you for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
Miriam, thanks for having us. And listeners out there, please donate to eastcountymagazine.org. You get a lot of great things from this organization, including real-time CAL FIRE and evacuation news, which is necessary for life in our backcountry.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, Jack is referring to our East County Wildfire and Emergency Alerts. It's a free public service that we offer, and people can sign up to get those fire alerts at our website also.
And Miriam, I understand those help people plan evacuation routes, so they're life-saving efforts as well.
Yeah, it's important. So thanks to both of you for all that you've done. And again, listeners, you can get more information at saveoursandiegocountryside.org.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the mountains to the sea.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine Radio Show.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Valerie Watts
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This is Jonathan Getz.
And this is Miriam Raftery, guest hosting Destination East County.
This week's Destination East County includes Cupids and Canines at Grossmont Center, Open Farm Day at the Oasis Camel Dairy, Hawk Watch in Ramona, Chamber Music in La Mesa, a Valentine's Tea and Valentine's Dinners in Julian.
Plus, we'll have coming attractions, including a Valentine tour at the Water Conservation Garden, a jazz concert at a La Mesa winery, gospel music in Lemon Grove, a star party, a Celtic harp concert, and international performer Gregory Page at Mission Trails, Seussical the Musical in Spring Valley, live bands at the Riviera Supper Club, The Boots Ball Benefit for the Anza Borrego Foundation in Borrego Springs, and a St. Patrick's Day Half Marathon in El Cajon.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
Grossmont Center Shopping Mall in La Mesa invites you to Cupid and Canines on February 10th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. The San Diego Animal Support Foundation and Grossmont Center are bringing together dozens of rescue groups and shelters featuring hundreds of adoptable dogs and, yes, even some cats for this mega adoption event inside the mall. Find purebred breeds from Chihuahuas to Great Pyrenees, as well as All-American Mutts. Just in time for Valentine's Day, you can find your new best friend or the perfect family pet. For more information, you can visit grossmontcenter.com.
You're invited to bring the family to Open Farm Day at the Oasis Camel Dairy in Ramona on February 10th and 11th from 1 to 4 p.m. with a live animal show at 1:30 p.m. The show features talking parrots, galloping, gobbling turkeys, dedicated farm dogs, and the biggest stars, camels. You can also feed treats to camels, cuddle with camels, shop for camels' milk, soaps, and lotions, take crazy camel selfies, or ride a camel. For details, visit cameldairy.com.
The Wildlife Research Institute invites you to Hawk Watch. Each Saturday in February at 10 a.m., visitors can see birds of prey such as hawks, eagles, and owls. Sponsored by the Wildlife Research Institute, this year Hawk Watch is being held at the Beegent Ranch, a private ranch open only for the Hawk Watch events. Guests are advised to arrive a half hour early for parking, bring binoculars, and enjoy coffee and donuts before viewing the raptors that make their homes in the Ramona grasslands. For more information, you can visit wildlife-research.org.
Bruce and Beverly Dorsey with the San Diego Chamber Music Society will perform a concert with piano and horn at the La Mesa Library on February 10th at 1 p.m. The La Mesa Library hosts free concerts on the second Saturday each month, thanks to support from the Friends of La Mesa Library.
Julian Tea and Cottage Arts will be serving up Valentine's Teas on February 8th through 14th, with several seating times available. This romantically inspired menu will include four courses, including soups, scones, finger sandwiches, and a dessert tray. For reservations, you can visit juliantea.com.
Jeremy's on the Hill in the Julian area will be serving up four-course Valentine's dinners paired with local wines on February 10th through the 14th. This romantic feast begins with ceviche and your choice of lobster bisque or a salad topped with ripe fruits, followed by a choice of salmon, duck, or steak entrees. The meal concludes with a bananas foster vanilla layer cake with chocolate espresso sauce and chai tea whipped cream. If you come on the 10th, 11th, or 12th, you can also enjoy live music, classical guitar, piano, or acoustic guitar. For reservations, visit bestrestaurantinjulian.com.
Now for a preview of coming attractions.
On February 17th, the Water Conservation Garden invites you to a Valentine's tour titled Love for Sex in the Garden. Think humans work hard at finding a partner? You'll be astounded at the creativity, deceit, competitiveness, and even murder that plants attempt to achieve pollination. Bring your sweetheart and celebrate nature's creativity with tour guide Rosalie Dosick, the self-described Dr. Ruth of the plant world, plus chocolate for all who attend. This PG-rated tour is based on the book Sex in the Garden. For more information, visit thegarden.org.
San Pasquale Winery's Tasting Room in La Mesa's downtown village will host live music by Stage 4 Jazz on February 17th at 7 p.m. Stage 4 is a dynamic group with a repertoire that spans jazz, rhythm and blues, and more. Learn more at sanpasqualewinery.com.
The Martin Luther King Jr. Community Choir of San Diego's Ensemble will be performing gospel and inspirational songs at the Lemon Grove Library on Saturday, February 17th at 2 p.m. The Lemon Grove Library is located at 3001 School Lane in Lemon Grove. The ensemble's music celebrates the history of Negro spirituals, aspiring to be inspirational and uplifting. For more information, you can visit the musical group's website at mlkccsd.org.
You can view the Andromeda Galaxy, the Orion Nebula, and other celestial sights during a star party at Mission Trails Regional Park on Saturday, February 17th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Amateur astronomer and trail guide George Varger will have a telescope available for viewing the night sky at the far end of the Kumeyaay Lake Campground's day-use parking lot.
You can learn more at mtrp.org.
Amy Lynn Canner will perform a Celtic harp concert at the Mission Trails Regional Park Visitor Center Auditorium on February 18th at 3 p.m. The performance will feature Pachelbel's Canon and Debussy's Clair de Lune. The program also features popular music like Somewhere Over the Rainbow, A Thousand Years, Stairway to Heaven, and more. For details and directions, visit Mission Trails Regional Park at mtrp.org.
Learn tips for attracting pollinators such as bees, hummingbirds, and butterflies to your garden at La Mesa Beautiful's annual meeting on February 18th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Nancoots Cottage in La Mesa. Marcia Van Looy, a volunteer with the Master Gardener Association, will be the speaker. Growing plants for all types of pollinators in her hillside garden is one of her favorite subjects to share with others. Her garden is a certified wildlife habitat, a certified earth-friendly garden, and it was featured in the San Diego Home and Garden magazine recently. And after many years of collecting rustic birdhouses, she now teaches master gardeners how to build them as a way to raise funds for their educational programs. This program is open to the public and refreshments will be served. RSVPs are requested to lamesabeautiful@gmail.com.
Young Actors Theater will present Seussical the Musical at the Encore Theater in the Casa de Oro area of Spring Valley from February 22nd through March 4th. This musical production brings to life your favorite Dr. Seuss characters from Cat in the Hat to Horton the Elephant. For tickets, visit yatsandiego.org.
Riviera Supper Club in La Mesa has live bands on stage in the Turquoise Room most nights through February and March. For a full list of the entertainment, you can visit rivierasupperclub.com.
You're invited to don your desert dressy attire and finest hiking boots for the second annual Boots Ball, hosted by the Anza Borrego Foundation on Saturday, March 3rd from 2 to 5 p.m. Guests will enjoy musical entertainment, food, live and silent auctions, and learn about the Foundation's vision for the next 50 years. The guest speaker, Obi Kaufman, is a poet, artist, and advocate for wilderness conservation. The Boots Ball will be held at the Anza Borrego Desert Research Center in Borrego Springs. For tickets and registration for the Boots Ball fundraiser, visit the Anza Borrego Foundation's website at theabf.org.
Gregory Page, an international touring and recording artist, returns to Mission Trails Regional Park Auditorium for a free concert on Sunday, March 4th at 3 p.m. This London-born Irish-American citizen of the world has imagination and conscience as well as vocal talent. He will share his stunning guitar work, songs of peace, ballads of optimistic melancholy, and in his words, true stories he makes up, with the Mission Trails listening audience in performance for the whole family. For more information, you can visit the Mission Trails Regional Park website at mtrp.org.
Run East County invites you to take part in the annual St. Patrick's Day Half Marathon, 5K race, and Green Mile through downtown El Cajon on Sunday, March 4th. There is also a Tribes and Clans CrossFit competition, a Tribes and Clans for Kids event, and a beer garden. Participants are encouraged to wear green and participate in a costume contest as you join avid runners and walkers for a morning of fun, all to benefit local East County charities. To register for the St. Patrick's Day Half Marathon race or other events, you can visit stpatricksdayhalf.com.
That's all for this week.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website, or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around East County!
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Gene Carpenter with our Green Scene Report. The Trump administration last month announced its intent to open virtually all U.S. offshore oil and gas reserves to drilling, including off San Diego's coast. But now, California officials say the state will prohibit transporting crude oil pumped from offshore rigs through California. Reuters reports that Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, who is running for governor, says he is determined that not a single drop from Trump's new oil plan will ever make landfall in California. The State Lands Commission is also objecting to the plan, arguing that the U.S. Department of the Interior has not scheduled enough public meetings in California to get input from residents here. Interior Department spokesperson Heather Swift has said that for all coastal states in the U.S., a total of 23 meetings are planned. California leaders point to serious harm to tourism, a key economic driver, from devastating oil spills such as those that have occurred in Santa Barbara and the Gulf Coast region. Inexplicably, after Florida objected on similar grounds, Florida was removed off the list of offshore drilling options. President Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort, where Trump and his family spend much of their time, is located on Florida's coast.
Valentine's Day is the perfect time to show your heart a little love. The County of San Diego's annual Love Your Heart Day event takes place on Wednesday, February 14th. At more than 150 sites in San Diego County, and allows adults to get a free blood pressure screening. The event, now in its seventh year, is part of the county's Live Well San Diego vision. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States, and the second leading cause of death in San Diego County. Obesity, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, and a family history of heart disease can put an individual at greater risk of heart disease. Getting a blood pressure check is a simple step to take for heart health. Last year's Love Your Heart event helped over 53,000 people get to know their blood pressure numbers and take charge of their own heart health. Over 10% of those screened last year, that's more than 5,300 people, had an elevated blood pressure level, and 77 of them were identified with urgent or emergent hypertension. For a list of Love Your Heart event locations locally, you can call 211 or check the interactive map at the San Diego County News Center's website. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fistier.
Dr. John Longhurst from UC Irvine Health and his wife, Cheryl, died in a plane crash into a construction yard in Santee early Tuesday morning. A dog on board was also killed. A second dog was injured. The couple was reportedly visiting their son, Christopher, a doctor at UC San Diego Health. Witnesses, including teenagers on their way to West Hills High School, saw the Cessna flying erratically, apparently out of control, shortly before the crash at Cuyamaca and Prospect Streets. Some witnesses attempted aid, but the plane was destroyed, killing the pilot and passenger on impact. Animal Services was called to pick up the two dogs, one of which later died. Santee Fire responded to the scene, as well as representatives from the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA. The pilot reportedly tried to return to Gillespie Field after encountering mechanical trouble, but was unable to make it back to the airport. An investigation into the crash will be conducted by the National Transportation Safety Board. The San Diego Union-Tribune reports that prior to this tragedy, 214 aviation accidents related to Gillespie Field have occurred since 1978. While not all were crashes, those accidents resulted in 17 fatalities and 22 injuries, as well as destruction of 10 planes and serious damage to 60 additional planes. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
You're listening to KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
The East County Magazine Show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com. The East County Magazine Show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is John Pistier with a Crime Beat report. A carjacking suspect has been arrested after a high-speed chase from El Cajon to Carlsbad. According to Sergeant James Golombluski with the Sheriff's Department, the suspect carjacked a vehicle on Greenfield Street in El Cajon shortly after 2:30 p.m. on Tuesday. About 45 minutes later, officers in Santee spotted the stolen vehicle and attempted a traffic stop on westbound Highway 52 near Mast Boulevard, but the subject sideswiped the vehicle and fled. A chase ensued from Highway 52 on to 805 and I-5 North at speeds up to 100 miles per hour. Efforts to deploy a spike strip failed, with traffic congested, so the sheriff's Astrea helicopter took over the pursuit. Deputies were in the process of transitioning the pursuit over to the California Highway Patrol when the suspect exited at Palomar Road and drove into a cul-de-sac and stopped the vehicle. Deputies conducted a high-risk stop, but the suspect initially failed to comply, so the officers shot a beanbag round into the vehicle's rear window. The suspect then exited the vehicle, followed commands, and was taken into custody.
If you would like to run for office to make a positive difference for your community, here's your opportunity. The filing period to run for many important public offices on the June ballot opens February 12th and ends March 9th for the following offices. All 5 San Diego congressional seats, the U.S. Senate, all statewide offices such as governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and attorney general. The State Assembly and State Senate, including the 38th District, where Senator Joel Anderson is stepping down due to term limits, there's an open seat. San Diego Sheriff, District Attorney, County Supervisors in the 4th and 5th Districts, where Bill Horn and Ron Roberts are leaving office due to term limits. The County Board of Education, the Grossmont Cuyamaca Community College District Board, San Diego Unified School District Board, and the San Diego Community College District Board. Other local races have deadlines later in the year to appear on the November ballot, including city councils, mayor's offices, fire boards, water boards, most school boards, and community planning groups. If you're considering running for office in the June primary, don't wait, since some races require signatures to get on the ballot or to offset fees. To learn more how to become a candidate for any of these offices, you can visit the San Diego County Registrar of Voters office at sdvote.com and click on the June elections link to download candidate filing guidelines. Reporting on KNSJ, this is Gene Carpenter.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.